On this first Sunday of Lent in the Jubilee Year of Mercy, we hear about the three temptations of Christ. Christ is God and God cannot sin. So our Lord was never tempted to sin. Temptations in and of themselves are never sinful. Only when we consent to the temptations do we then sin. And daily we are confronted with multiple temptations. These three that our Lord endured, and not two or five, are symbolic or existential of the basic weaknesses in the human nature. Our Lord went out into the wilderness for 40 days. God's people would be in the wilderness for 40 years, and they too would be tempted. And some fell from his grace before the promised land. We in our lifespan, we shall be tempted, and some of us may fall from his grace before the reality of heaven. So we need to learn how to fight temptations. And that's the primary reason why we have this text in the scriptures. There were no apostles present. St. Luke wasn't there. There were no disciples of the Lord. There's no one taking notes. Ronald Knox, a great convert from the Anglican Church to the Catholic, a scripture scholar, an erudite Greek lecturer, explains that our Lord must have told the apostles about this event. He told them so that they in turn would tell us, so that we would have, firstly, the example that temptations ought not dismay us. They ought not make us saddened or worried, because Christ endured temptations. Secondly, temptations are not the worst thing in the world. In fact, when you fight a temptation and win, you are growing in virtue and grace. Our Lord endured these three because these three, as I said, are the existential temptations or weaknesses of the human nature. Psychology has studied them, Freud, Jung, Adler and others. Basically, they fall into the three categories of the bodily pleasures, the want of things, and the desire to control or have dominion over others, the expansion of the ego. These three today, as in every day, are present in our lives. And it's through God's grace that we overcome the temptations and grow, as I said, in holiness. Firstly, the bodily temptations. Today we see people eating too much. Obesity is commonplace. Furthermore, while a part of the world is starving because they lack basic food, we have fallen in our affluent culture, of almost the worship of food. How many television shows, books, people building houses with two kitchens, all focused not so much on basic food to nourish their bodies, but food for the sake of food, a quality or a love of food that's above and beyond what is normal. And that comes with our affluent world today. Rome, before its collapse and its moral decay, partook of the same want of exotic foods at all times and an overindulgence in food. And of course, then there's the desires for drink and drugs, and of course we hear much about the ICE epidemic. And on top of that, we have pornography and lust that's out of control, rampant, and will have dire effects upon families with abuse cases in the future. So these are the big bodily desires, and we fight them. We endure them daily. And with God's grace and the focus on self-control and discipline, we can grow in virtue, the virtues of justice, charity, chastity, purity, and so forth. The second category of temptations is with regards to the want of things, wealth. And here the devil told a lie, that he has all the kingdoms of the world. Christ would call Satan a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning. He has not the right to give of all the kingdoms of the world. But don't our hearts desire the want of things, more so the want of things than more so than what we need? With our world of technology today, of multiple devices, be they phones, iPads, gadgets here and there, there seems to be an endless limit of want for things. And these devices, which detach us from actual reality and actual personal communication, don't really foster the virtues we need for holiness and home happiness. In fact, many families find it difficult now to communicate, or there's issues because someone spends all their time on Facebook, or they never talk to you face to face, they're always on their phone texting somebody else. So a discipline is required here. Just the other day I was speaking to a couple who are having communication problems, and they've agreed at a certain time of the evening they would put their phones on mute or turn them off and put them in the basket in the lounge room. They don't go into the bedroom, they don't go to other rooms. We need to have a sense of self-control over technology, lest it control us. And with all things, let's ask ourselves during Lent, what do we need and what do we want? So a good time of the year to give things away. On this Sunday in Lent, the bishop, and there's a copy of his homily in the porch, he encourages us to read it and to take it home. And in that context, he talks about how we ought to be giving in this year of mercy. And he says, mercy identifies the very nature of God in relationship with the whole created order. We simply do not know God if we know nothing of his mercy. Mercy is the very heart of the gospel. We have not yet heard or lived the gospel if we have not opened our hearts and our lives to the mercy of God. And how do we do that? He goes on to say, in the diocese of Wagga Wagga, we turn to Mary at the foot of the cross and seek her mercy. And we don't forget to provide for those who need mercy. The Church, he says, for example, is tireless in her teaching and defence of the dignity of the human person from conception to natural death. There is a determination also not to obscure or neglect the option of the poor, so deeply rooted in the Gospels. In this respect, we are all familiar with Project Compassion, and there's some boxes and envelopes in the porch when you come in, which gives a practical expression to the corporal works of mercy that we are called to promote in this Jubilee of Mercy. Once again, this Lent, Bishop Hannah says, on behalf of the poor, I ask that with a renewed commitment and in the spirit of this year of mercy, you respond with generosity to the Project Compassion appeal. So that's one way we can detach ourselves from the want of things and be generous unto others. It is in giving that we shall receive. The last temptation is that of power, control. It's pride, the ego. And we offset that by prayer, as by focusing not on self, but rather on God and what God wants of us, that we grow in virtue and not in the want of having to control others. And we ask for that grace to spend more time in prayer. There's the Stations of the Cross each Friday night here or in Lavington. There's Lenten groups. I hope one starts out here. We have some books we can give you if you so decide to have one. And other forms of prayer. Apart from the rosary, there's many extra people coming to daily mass, and we're trying to provide as many masses as possible in the parish so that people turn to God rather than think of themselves. And of course, one way we can spend more time with God during Lent is by taking up an hour at the Adoration Chapel in Albury. It's a marvellous investment this time of the year to spend an hour with God at least once a week. Silent prayer is the marvellous way to detox our soul of the ego and to focus on who we are and where we're going. And with Christ's presence before us, he will give us the actual graces to tune in to the big reality and to tune out of all those issues that tend to block or provide obstacles to the path of grace. So let us make most opportunity of these prayer modes that we have in these 40 days whilst we travel in the spiritual wilderness of the desert in preparation for the presence of Christ at Easter. And in doing so, we shall rejoice with the Lord and be at one with him. Praise be Jesus Christ.